with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, welcome to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of July 3rd and 4th, Independence Day / 4th of July weekend. We have a really jammed show. I want to get to a report right now because I understand there's some good fishing going on for the flatties down in the Cape May area. Joining us on the line right now is Dave Masterson from Utch's Marine in 1121 New Jersey -109 in Cape May. Dave, I understand you got some flatties on the reefs and some flatties in the back. What's happening?
Yeah, the boats are heading out to the Cape May Reef. Also, the Wildwood Reef has been producing, and of course, some of the inshore wrecks. Some boats have been drifting around those and getting some nice flounder. There's also some flounder laying up in the intercoastal waterway.
Ooh.
You know, you catch that top of the tide and the outgoing seems to be the time.
Hot bait, Dave. Hot bait for them. Squid, spearing, minis, gulp, what?
Minnows, you know, most, I'd say, are using minnows and some squid. But, you know, there are some diehard fishermen that use gulp. You know, they like the pink and white and the pink.
There you go. Pink shine and the pink.
Yeah. Also, some flatties being caught, you know, down at Cape May Point around the sunken ship. I had a guy tell me.
Okay, and from what I understand, Dave, these are some nice-sized keepers, man. Nice and fat, too.
Yes.
Dave, one last thing before I let you go. At night, were there many bass or weakfish in the back?
Yeah, along the side banks, you know, I haven't heard anyone, but I would say the side banks early evening, if you've got a good tide. You know, I always like the flood tide.
Right.
Early evening when there's no boat traffic. You get some of those creeks running out.
There you go. There you go.
Definitely a hot spot for weakfish. And definitely bass. I mean, there's resident bass. I've caught bass in along the sod banks year-round.
There you go. Okay, Dave, we'll see you guys this coming week.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks, Tom. Have a great weekend.
You too. David Utch's Marine. Hey, a lot of stuff going on, too. The flight all the way up through Barnegat Bay has been in the back. Let me tell you something. What's been hot in Barnegat Bay, also around Great Bay area in there, the 2-inch gulp peeler crab has been kicking ass because the fish are up on the flats and getting down along the edges, and they're coming up, and they are gorging on the crabs. The gulp shrimp working well, too. On the freshwater scene, thank God we had a break in this weather, the largemouth bass fishing has been hot, dusk into dark. Frogging, man. Now is prime frogging time. Hey, coming up, Jeff Norman, supervising biologist, New Jersey Bureau of Marine Fisheries. We're talking clamming in New Jersey. Great sport. You have the crabs, you have crabbing, you have the fishing, all well and good. Try the clamming. Very interesting. Grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Experience the best barbecue on the planet July 9th through July 11th in North Wildwood. It's the New Jersey State Barbecue Championship. Mouth-watering ribs, chicken, brisket, and pork, masterfully marinated and seasoned, then smoked for hours to the point of perfection. This ain't just grilling, this is art. Who will be the champion? Come witness barbecue teams from around the country show off their skills in a quest for the best. Experience the best barbecue on the planet July 9th through July 11th in North Wildwood at the New Jersey State Barbecue Championship. Sponsored by Anglesey Fire Company.
You'll never believe it. I mean, I hardly could. Kohl's has epic deals right now, and they're going to make for an epic 4th of July. I got the cutest $6.99 Americana tees, $19.99 tech gear shorts for me, and Toastmaster kitchen gadgets for less than $10. I even got Kohl's cash and picked up my order in less than an hour. So yeah, cue the fireworks, because these savings are definitely worth celebrating.
Select style sale ends July 4th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Welcome guests back in with 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Get Valspar Signature Interior Paint and Primer starting at $32.98 per gallon. And with appliance savings today and every day, save up to $750 now on select major appliances. The summer savings continue this July 4th. So stop at Lowe's or buy online and pick up in store. Lowe's, home to any budget, home to any possibility. Paint pricing valid through 7/7/21. In store, must ask cashier to apply coupon. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Can't be combined with additional discounts. Exclusions apply. Valid through 7/14.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hey, I'll tell you, more and more guys are saying this year, I don't know, maybe everything's coming together. It's been very pro-satisfaction when it comes to the flounder. Fluke have been getting caught, lots of numbers, and more keepers. Everyone's happy with that. The bluefish have roared in. Striper bonus tags available, and there are plenty of stripers in the back bays and lower tidal rivers. Remember, you have the 124 to under 28 for the bonus tag fish. Crabbing is going crazy. A lot of stuff happening. What about the clamming? Always gets overshadowed, it seems, especially when it comes to the crabbing. You know, a lot of people crab, and that's great. Seeing more and more people, especially families, getting in on the clamming bounty here along the Jersey coast. Yeah, Tom P., what about the clams? Well, joining us on the line to tell us about it is Jeff Norman. He is a supervising biologist, Division of Fish and Wildlife, Bureau of Marine Fisheries. Clamming is a big business in New Jersey. Commercial, yes, but very popular and seems to be growing in popularity, especially during the summer when the shore season is in full tilt. Jeff, thanks for joining us on Rack and Fin. How you doing, man?
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Clamming is, now I can't say crazy, Jeff, but it is growing in leaps and bounds of popularity from what I view. And I'm up and down the shore constantly during the week. And it is going gangbusters, Jeff. And everyone's catching clams, it seems. It's just a great time.
Tom, it's a very family-oriented activity, or you can just do it individually. But it's kind of satisfying, you know, getting into the bay and digging up clams and harvest them, taking them home, eating them, the whole process. So it's really a nice activity.
Jeff, I had a father and son ask me who've been doing pretty well, and they're down here every weekend. You know, they're both licensed naturalists. There's a $10 recreational clamming license for a resident, $20 non-resident, and a 14 and under, or under 14 rather, $2 resident and non-resident. He says, and they try different spots. He says, the clams seem to be everywhere. Do they stock them or something? And I said, I know there's some clam hatcheries around. Jeff, the natural reproduction, the hatcheries, the bounty of clams seems to be especially phenomenal this year. What's the deal?
Well, it all depends on environmental conditions. So some years you have ups and some years you have downs in populations because of whatever environmental factors, dictate spawning. So some years you have boom years and, you have clams all over the place. Some years you don't. And really, there's a lot of factors that come into play. We do some enhancement efforts, but mm-hmm. we haven't done any in the last couple of years because of the pandemic. And also because it depends on the seed supply of getting clams seed from hatcheries. So it really depends when we can do that. So, but that's usually localized in small localized areas.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're having tremendous clamming, that means you probably a couple years ago, you had a really good recruitment event. So
now, Jeff, you say hatcheries, are there many in the state of Jersey?
There's about 6 or 7 hatcheries in the state of New Jersey.
All along the Atlantic coast, any on the Delaware Bay side?
There's not really on the Delaware Bay side, but they're mostly on the Atlantic coast. Mm-hmm. They mostly produce hard clams, but there are some that do some oysters. You know, a lot of out of state hatcheries in the Mid-Atlantic do oysters, but on the Atlantic coastal bays in New Jersey, that's where you've got most of your hatcheries for basically hard clams.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff, let me ask you this. You know, in my years with fisheries, you had creel senses, you had electroshocking, seining, that type thing, whatever. Are there techniques like that for gauging localized clam populations, or is something like that done?
It's really tough to do that unless you're doing some sort of angler survey, like have the recreational angler survey
right.
within Marine Fisheries Administration. But periodically, and I don't know if you had gotten one of these, Tom, but about every 10 years or so, we send out a kind of a census,
mm-hmm.
a questionnaire to license holders. And actually this year we are working on the new questionnaire to actually send out to license holders to kind of gauge their clamming activities, commercial and recreational.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get that information, we can kind of evaluate what's going on. So it's kind of like the census, with the U.S. government is kind of do with the clam licenses.
Okay.
And it's random. So you can't send that to all license holders.
Right.
That's a lot of license holders, but you know, we do a random sample of that and we send them that stuff. So if anybody gets one of these questionnaires, mm-hmm. it's great information to fill it out.
And listeners, please do. Your voice matters. Your opinion, your input matters here. Oh, Jeff, before I want to get back to the license of the monies generated, et cetera. But are there, back to the resource itself, are there red flags when something like population might be in trouble or water quality might be down that the Bureau of Marine Fisheries, you know, shellfish gauges that, okay, let's shut this area down or what have you? Are there any things like that would pop up?
Not really. The water classification, as you know, you have the water classification charts, the shellfish growing water classification charts that mm-hmm. you can issue through DEP that gauge where you can go clamming because of water quality, or, you know, for safe consumption of shellfish.
Right.
So you have those, but, you know, periodically, if you have a sewer break or something like that, you know, they temporarily shut down areas. But other than that, you know, we do stock assessment surveys.
There you go.
Of
okay.
different coastal bays. We just completed one up in Sandy Hook Bay this year, which we have a vessel that's designed to sample the clams, and we could do a kind of a stock assessment, trying to gauge how many are up there.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to do. There's no really reporting requirements on the wild harvest side, but we also, in conjunction with the Shell Fisheries Council, there's actually a Shell Fisheries Council in the state of New Jersey that advises the commissioner of the DEP. But we are going to be working on a management plan. It takes a while. There's a lot of information that goes into it.
Sure.
You have to define it. So that's kind of the works, and we'll be working with the Shell Fisheries Council with that. That's upcoming. So we have a lot of things that we are, you know, trying to accomplish and projects that we're going ahead with. So it's moving forward.
Jeff, are there any organizational groups? I know one, Reclaim the Bay, that are they're assisting, offering help in enhancing the clam resource?
Yeah, they do a lot of public outreach, which is great. Mm-hmm. They get the public involved. So they become members, get involved. They do, they do some outreach work with schools and so forth. They grow, clams. They work in conjunction with the Rutgers Cooperative Extension.
There you go.
We are partners with them. We assist them, but they are a great organization. They got a lot mm-hmm. of membership. They actually do grow outs. You know, they have their upwellers and stuff where they grow seed,
mm-hmm.
and they'll try to proceed or get seed from hatcheries too. Grow them out, and then they will plant them on some areas, and you know we'll kind of guide them to where we should probably put them.
Right, right.
But we collaborate a lot, so yeah, it's a good organization. So,
well, Jeff, let's get back to the licensing. People ask me where does this money go? I mean, is it again? This always comes up again. The freshwater mentality. Another wrong with that. I'm a freshwater guy myself. Stocking. Did I do any stocking with it? What's stocking? Now I understand funding. You get some federal, you know, grants, et cetera. This money, as you told me, is strictly goes to enforcement, correct?
Yeah. Your shellfish license money actually goes to enforcement. So that's where it goes to help with enforcement.
And now the money's generated to, you know, for the clam, the hard clam project, you know, for lack of a better term. That's federal and state infused?
Yes. Mostly state infused or from our dedicated, we have some, you know, dedicated accounts that we can use for that purpose of enhancement and restoration.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use that money to purchase shellfish to, say, offset some project that may have a negative impact on
okay.
a shellfish population or harvest. So we can take that money and use that to enhance other areas to enhance harvest opportunities.
Speaking of harvest opportunities, Jeff, I get hit with this on occasion. How come I'm buying a license? How come I can't clam on a Sunday? That's a $64,000 age old question on that. Is that a blue thing, a management thing? Does that go back to the 1800s, early 1900s? I just say you can't clam on Sunday. That's it. Do you have any history in that?
it's actually a law.
Right, yeah.
It's all that's a state statute, and it's nothing like on our end of it. We can, you know, if you have a law and the law allows you to promulgate regulations and to manage something, we can change that. Mm-hmm. But you can't change, we can't change that because it's a legislative type of action. So it's been proposed numerous times over the years, but it was a law that was really created kind of a conservation and also a protection measure, if okay. that makes sense. So, back in the 1930s, you had people that had shellfish leases with oysters and so forth, and sure. they would have to, and there was also poaching was all over the place. People were invading other people's products and so mm-hmm. forth. So by having off on Sunday, it kind of gave some of the leaseholders a break, because mm-hmm. anybody out shellfishing on Sunday would be in violation.
There you go. Right. Easily enough explained. Jeff, one final question before I let you go. It seems like a shortage. Everything's a shortage these past 6 or 7 months. I don't understand this. But for example, for the drum fishery, the big surf clams, they all of a sudden they're in critical short supply. Is that a habitat thing and an over harvest thing?
No.
What is
it's not an over harvest thing. Actually, it's a change in the environmental conditions. The New Jersey had a lot of surf clams. I mean, at one time, right. big harvest and everything else, but the population actually has shifted up to more cooler offshore waters.
Wow.
Because of a climate shift. Mm-hmm. So, one slight degree in temperature can affect the shellfish population, on average.
And there you go.
So basically we've seen the population move further offshore and, up into the New England states. So, it's what we're talking, with the initiative of this governor, everything else is global warming. It's climate change, and we're seeing it, and that's what DEP is kind of working towards as a whole in this administration. So it is it's something that I've actually kind of documented it, because I used to do the surf clam survey for 30 years.
Wow.
For the state. Okay. Yeah.
Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us on Rackafin. Listen, by the way, you can that is a recreational clamming allotment up there in the Shrewsbury and Navisink on Sunday, correct, in certain areas?
Yes. Yes, in the Navisink and Shrewsbury Rivers and the seasonal waters up right. there, you can harvest on Sundays.
And that listeners, that's a top end of the Rackafin Radio terrestrial listening area there in Monmouth County. Well, Jeff, thanks for joining us. Listeners, get out there, get a clamming license, and the kids have to be licensed. Now, you have to understand, even if they're 3 or 4 years old, whatever, they need a license. Am I correct, Jeff?
Yes.
Okay, so, and have their social security number, make it easy, get in there, but get out and enjoy the clams. A lot of fun. Wear that sunblock. Watch out for the greenheads on a west wind. They'll make you want to put yourself on fire. But you have some great eating after. Hey, coming up on our next segment, we have Bob Misak talking clamming and clamming techniques. Jeff Norman, thanks for joining us. Listeners, clamming is great. Hope Jeff filled you in on with the clamming situation in New Jersey. It's never been better, in my opinion. Even I'm catching them. Well, Jeff, you take care. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care, brother. Yep.
Good holiday.
Jeff Norman, he is great. Listen, reclamthebay.org, reclamthebay.org to find out more information. Jeff really talked up this group. They are very proactive. Okay, be right back with Bobby Misak. And he's going to have a kick-ass clam casino recipe to go with it. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
So what is Talk with a Purpose? It's a lively, informative, number one rated talk show on Saturday morning. Hi, this is John DeMasi. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 9 a.m. till noon for Talk with a Purpose, heard right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5. And if you miss it on Saturday, we replay it on Sunday from 5 until 8 p.m. Don't miss Talk with a Purpose, Saturday and Sunday, right here on WPG Talk Radio 95.5, South Jersey's talk station.
Oh, yeah, it's on. Have Matt Blatt Nissan. The summertime sale is on at Bet Lat Bison. And the deals are heating up. Put zero down, pay 0% interest for 60 months, or get $2,500 off MSRP on every 2021 Nissan Murano in stock. Plus, we need your trade. Buried in a current loan or lease? Matt Platt Nissan wants to get you released so you can drive the all-new loaded SV model 2021 Nissan Rogue. Lease just $299 per month with zero security deposit. Plus, our fast-track checkout. Bring any vehicle to Matt Platt Nissan and get top dollar today in Egg Harbor Township, next to Home Depot, or online at MattPlattNissan.com.
Get on at Matt Platt Nissan.
Negative equity will be refinanced into new vehicle. Rate qualifications exist. Not all will qualify. 0% APR financing based on 1667 per thousand bar. Offers can be combined. 36-month, 10,000-mile per year lease. Lease selling price, $28,590. Call 877-289-6670 or go to MattPlattNissan.com for complete details. It's on at Matt Platt Nissan on the Black Horse Pike, Egg Harbor Township.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy Independence Day weekend, 4th of July, rocks. Okay, the weather Friday sucked. Weather today, not too good. Looks good for tomorrow and Monday, though. But, again, the crabbing, the fishing, all that stuff is fine. Get out and clam. But, Tom P., how do I get started clamming? Me? I say, go to Parsons or Ahern's or down there in Cape May, you know, the commercial fisheries down there. Yeah, give me that sack of 50 cherry stones or give me that sack of 50 little necks or top necks to get it going. Those exercise days are way beyond my ken right now. But join us on the line right now, very good friend of Rack and Fin Radio, to talk clamming techniques, where to look, how to do it, and if we can strangle it out of him, an incredible clams casino recipe, make your tongue slap your brains out. Join us on the line is Bob Misak, outdoor writer. You've seen his articles in the Fisherman on the Water, Fur Fish Game, at all at infinitum. A professional trapper, lifelong bayman. A lifelong bayman there on Barnicot Bay. Expert turkey hunter, ace angler. And he doesn't want me to say this because he's a very humble guy, but he is the legendary clammer, the king of clamming himself. Joining us, Bob Misak. How you doing, little brother? Good to have you on.
Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Misak, I'm talking to you, man. I am in some tall cotton now, brother. That's from my Texas days. Well, Bobby, the clamming has been nothing short of, like, I don't want to say phenomenal, epic, whatever. Those are so overused. But it's been pretty damn good, man. It's been good since, I guess, late April, early May. And now, gauging by what I'm seeing in clamming license sales and stuff, the popularity of it is picking up. Is it really that involved to get started in clamming, Bobby?
No, there's definitely been a resurgence in clamming interest over the last year or two. A lot of folks are picking it up and trying to subsidize whatever other fishing they can't do at this time. Most of your bait and tackle stores are now stocking clam rakes for recreational use, which is proof that people are gaining interest on the recreational side of it anyway. The commercial side's dropped off a bit due to, clam prices and availability of clams, but the recreational part's doing well. I've been seeing a lot of folks out there raking.
And Bob, one thing I like to see, it seems to be not in many cases, but often enough, Mies, where it's like a family affair. You have youngsters involved. And that's great to see.
Yes. If people bring their kids out. When I was young, my whole family clammed. We all clammed. There was five kids. And other than the baby, all four of us were out there with my mom and my dad. And we clammed on a regular basis all summer long.
Bob, sort of as an aside, but woven into this conversation, there was a book. Shout out to Scott McGahee. Scott Todd out there. He survived bass fishing up in Lake George. I understand the conditions weren't good, but Scotty scored. Sent me a book a couple of years ago, Bobby, called A Bayman's Life by a gentleman named Merce Ridgway. Fascinating read. Absolutely captivating when you read about these are the baymen and his wife, Arlene, lived off the bay, lived off the land. I understand he was a relative of yours?
Yeah, Arlene's a cousin of mine.
Wow.
Growing up, I was always around Merce. Those guys used the big rakes out in the bay, and we all clammed alongside each other. My father, Merce, his son, Tom, Gilly, and Joe Rizzo, he's actually on the Shellfish Commission.
Joe Rizzo, yeah.
Today. So, you know, we clammed with all those people. I was very small then. I remember a lot of it, though. It's great memory. Great memory of the bay when there was a lot of clams to be had. And, you know, people were pulling thousands every day. And it's dropped off a little bit. And the interest, like I said, commercially has dropped off. But for the most part, you can get out there and get some clams.
Bob, in your opinion, commercial decline a little bit. Clam prices depressed? Are they too high? Not enough clams? What's the dealio?
Well, you know, clam prices have gone up, but just not enough for it to be feasible for someone to make a living in today's, cost of living. So,
sure.
It kind of dropped off a little bit, and people got regular jobs. You know, back in the day, they made a living at it, but no one got rich. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just a lifestyle that people enjoyed. They enjoyed being out on the bay all day, and I guess they made some financial sacrifices to do that.
But before we get to the techniques here and some of the tools of the trade, I have to ask you this. What is that insipid press secretary said? I want to be insipid for a moment. Let's circle back to the Merce Ridgeway. Do you remember as a child, Bob, clamming with them in the winter, the way Merce described the winter clamming, breaking the ice, the saltwater ice and the whole bit? That seemed pretty hairy.
Yeah, the winters were tough. If you're going to be a full-time clammer, certainly you had to be out there in the winter. And if you see a clammer that's been clamming for 50 years, you can certainly see it
in
his face. You know, the elements take its toll on you. And any kind of equipment you may have, salt air really tears it up. But yeah, Merce was one of the prolific clammers. He was a big man. And, you know, clam rakes went from 18-tooth, which is a small clam rake with 18 teeth on it, all the way on up to 40 teeth. Well, Merce pulled a 40-tooth rake, and he really lit it up. And, you know, when they opened up some of the polluted areas where they cleared the water and it was okay to open up polluted areas in addition to clam beds that were being saved, you know, they would open it up to some commercial guys and they'd get in there. And sometimes Merce would pull 6,000-7,000 clams a day when he got on a bed.
Mary, mother of God, that's a lot of work, Mies.
It's a lot of work. And a big guy like that, I was impressed with him. He used to really pull some clams out of the water. He was amazing.
Well, Bob,
Let's
get into some techniques. I go by some tackle shops when I'm traveling up and down 9 and got all the way up into Monmouth County down to the Cape. You see the clam rakes. There's a shop on 9, Creekside Outfitters, has different lake clam rakes, different numbers of teeth on there. Generally, to get started, what's the deal? What do you need?
Well, if you're going to be a recreational clammer, there's two ways to harvest clams recreationally. There's actually a bunch of ways, but mostly people would tread, which is just get in the water with your bare feet and feel around. And that's kind of gone by the wayside because clams, you know, they go down deep. Sometimes they're 5 inches deep. You know, it's hard to get them with your feet anymore. In addition to the fact that, you have a lot of garbage out in the bay as compared to years ago. You know, there's aluminum cans and bottles,
right?
Broken glass, whatever. It's, you know, you could really mess yourself up treading clams. And so now everyone's gone to the scratch rake, which is a small handled rake. You jump in the water and you scratch around for clams. The clam rakes of today, though, have been, you know, modified pretty good. My clam rake has 5-inch teeth on it. So a small rake with 5-inch teeth, you know, once you learn to run that rake down and get it down there, you don't miss much, you know. But you got to move around. The three types of clams that are out there in my day were little necks, cherries, and chowders. There was three certifications of clams. Of course, we got the most money for the little necks, and the cherries came next, and then the chowders were the least amount of money we got. But everybody looks for little necks, which they like to be, you know, they're the steamer clams, and everybody likes to throw them on the grill and just eat them the way they are when they pop open. But, realistically, in today's market, cherry stones, which is a mid-sized clam, is what you're going to find. Mm-hmm. A lot of the little necks, you got to really move around to find a good concentration of smaller clams, especially with the interest over the last year or so. So if you have cherry clams, you know, you got to find a way to cook them. So you'll have clams casino, or you'll, you know, grind them up and make chowder, whatever you're going to do. But they're not very good as steamers. So, you know, a lot of people are going to end up with mid-sized clams. That's basically the most, you know. There's not as many chowders and necks as there are cherries. So that's what people are going to end up with most of in their basket there. And like I said, you can go buy a rake anywhere, a clam rake. You could buy them with a handle. You could buy them without a handle. I buy my rakes from Connecticut because, I get the modified teeth. So I buy them from a company called Rib, and that's R-I-B-B. That's right online. You can get a modified clam rake with longer teeth. It's got self-sharpening metal, so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to grind them down when they get dull. They sharpen on their own through the sand. And they're really very efficient as opposed to like a rake with 3-inch teeth. Mm-hmm. However, 3-inch teeth will work for you if you're a recreational clam. And again, you have to move around. You can't just find clams anywhere you go in Barnegat Bay.
Right. We'll get to that. Bob, we're up against a hard break. Hang in there. Speaking with Bob Misak, talking clamming, man. Okay, crabbing, fishing, yes. Clamming season is hot. It's ready, and they are out there. Grab that cup. Grab that rebel. Be right back with Bob Misak.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5 FM and 1450 AM. South Jersey's number one talk station.
Fox News, I'm Jill Nato. The search for anyone at the site of the collapsed building in Surfside, Florida continues 24/7, but it could get stopped by Hurricane Elsa. John Cangelosi at the National Hurricane Center says Elsa's near Haiti today.
And then passing across eastern and central Cuba Sunday into Monday, possibly as a hurricane or a strong tropical storm, and then we'll see how close it gets to Florida early next week.
The storm's already hit Barbados. After 20 years, U.S. forces have left Bagram Airfield in Afghanistan. Bagram was the epicenter of the war to hunt al-Qaeda. As for final troop drawdown, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
We believe we're going to be able to complete this process by the end of August.
American troops still in Afghanistan are now concentrated in Kabul. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Talk Radio 95.5 AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. Today will be mostly cloudy with a shower. Rather cool for July. High today 73. Patchy clouds tonight, low 59. Partly sunny tomorrow, the high for the 4th of July will be 79. Monday will be mostly sunny with a high of 82. And partly sunny and humid Tuesday, that day's high 88. I'm AccuWeather's Sally Sherman on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Download Rack and Fin Radio as a podcast on the WPG Talk Radio app. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Again, joining us is Bob Misak. We're talking clam, a little ligature on Misak. He's an outdoor writer extraordinaire. He is a professional trapper, lifelong bayman, expert turkey hunter, ace angler, and legendary clammer, hence the topic. So, Mies, you know, you mentioned the rakes and stuff. Two things I want to get to on the rakes. I've seen some with small baskets on the end and some with larger baskets on the end. I guess that's theoretically to hold the clams as you're raking them up, correct?
Yes. So, yeah, you have rakes with low-profile baskets on them, and then you have some that are a little bit longer. I don't really know the reason for it. When you're raking clams, you're typically in knee-deep to waist-deep water. So, you know, you're going to get most of the clams that you get up out of the bottom. I like to use the bigger back on my rake. It's called the turtle back, but I like that because I can get three or four or more in there and leave them in there before I pull the rake up and turn it. So with that said, you know, you want to have a basket with you.
There you go.
A lot of people just drag a bag around, but people are more interested in clamming, have a basket, and they blow up a car tire tube and throw the basket inside of it and float the clams so that it's less work. So you tie that around your waist with a little rope, throw them in there, and it floats right by you wherever you move to.
Tell you, Bob, the only rope they found for me was that 48-foot crabbing trap cord, man. Hey, Mies, question. Best time to crab, a dropping tide, dead low, inbound, what's the deal?
Well, you know, dead low is optimum for me. I like dead low because it allows me to get out further off these shorelines and find some clams. You know, the shallower areas tend to be picked through a lot. So a lot of people fish they'll go and clam any tide. So I like to wait until it's dead low. It gives me more ground to cover. So, you know, I also clam a lot on the west side of the bay because the west side is near the inlets. You know, you get filtered water. The clams are a lot cleaner. Mm-hmm. They're a lot better for eating. The west side of the bay closes off in the summertime along the shoreline and does not open up until May 1st. And then it goes from May to, I forget, but the clams in the, on the east side tend to be a little dirtier. You got some runoff, you know, you got some issues over on that side. So those are the clams that people get in the wintertime. And in the middle of the bay on the flats and stuff, you can find some areas, but you got to pick and move. You got to scratch around. And if you don't find a little concentration, you can move on. And typically, you got a recreational license, which will allow you 150 clams per day.
Right.
Realistically, you don't want to spend 4 or 5 hours trying to get 150 clams. I mean, I like to find a spot where I can get my 150 within an hour to an hour and a half.
Misak, I heard the record. You had 150 in 19 minutes. Is that true?
That's actually true, yeah. We get them stacked up once in a while, and that was on the side of the bay, which opens up in the wintertime. So, in the winter.
Are there? are there, like, you know, you have deer trails, you know, scout for deer or whatever. Are there clams? Do they go up in a line? Are they in any set pattern, or is it you zigzag, go in circles? How do you find the numbers?
Well, typically, you just look for spots where people haven't been. I mean, clams don't really...
That's Jersey, people!
Really, you know, clams don't really move around as opposed to, like, a scallop. A scallop can move in the water. He can clap his shell together and travel distances. But clams basically stay within the first 50 yards of where they're seated at. And so you just have to look. And, you know, a lot of times they're down. They go up and down. You know, a lot of times they're right on top. A lot of times they go way deep. So, you know, it's all just a matter of sticking and moving and finding spots. I go up on the flats now, which is in the middle of, you know, it's just a big field of flats over by Barnegat Inlet.
Mm-hmm.
And I move around and I find little pockets of them and stuff. But, you know, that's at low tide. Again, it's low tide. You got to look for water, you know, low water so that you can get in the water. I'm not a very tall guy, so low tide for me.
Listen to speak with Bob Misak. Topic is recreational clamming. Well, Bob, now will the clam spots change? Basically, a summer. This is a summer endeavor. Summer to summer, as per channels changing, flats changing, winter storms, early spring storms, things like that. I mean, we caught them one summer. Will they necessarily be there the next summer?
No. If it's cleaned out, a lot of times you'll see interest in one area where there's a good amount of small clams. And I'll see, you know, like I'll be clamming there and I'll see a lot of seed clams, which are tiny little clams. So I know then there, if I see a lot of seed clams, I'll know that that's going to be a good area in a year or two because the clams grow incredibly fast.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, a lot of times, it'll get picked out and then you have to move and then you can go back to that spot later and then the clams will be there because they grow real fast, like I said. Mm-hmm. But a good sign is to look for seed clams. They come up when you're clamming for the bigger clams and you'll see those seed clams popping up. And that's a good mental. You got to make a mental note of that and keep it on your mind so you can go back there in a year or two and hopefully get some, you know, get some necks out of there.
Bobby, one of the best clamming days I had, I can't say back in the day, a few years ago, back there behind, what's that, Strathmore, Deauville Inn, somewhere back in there. And I was with a charter captain down here. We're going by, and he had a clam rake in the boat. We, you know, caught some flounder. I said, Cap, look at the people over there clamming. He says, yeah. He said, as you said, Misak, that's going to be picked over pretty soon. Went around a bank, came around. There was another flat just appearing. We were maybe shin deep, ankle deep. Misak, it was loaded. I said, man, I got 50 clams, 60 clams, something like that. That was enough, more than enough for me. He says, yeah. He says, pick and choose your spots. He said, Tom P, you have to, if you want a clam, you have to be willing to be mobile. Sure, you can park out and spend, like you said, me spend hours and hours. That ain't the way to do it, people. Mobility is the key. That's a 150 clam limit, and there's a minimum 1.5 inch across the top of the shell. But Bob, again, mobility is the key factor to getting that limit filled.
Absolutely. And so if you find a spot that's been picked through, a lot of times you'll find a spot that's been picked through with little stuff. You know, a lot of people don't take the bigger clams; they just leave them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you find a spot like that, you'll get all cherries and then maybe a few chowders and hardly any necks. But then, so now if you got all these cherries, what are you going to do with them? You got to try to find a nice recipe that you could use those clams.
Let's have it, Bobby. Go, go, go.
Go. Clams Casino is my favorite. And a lot of people are driven away by making Clams Casino because you have to open the clams, get them on the half shell before you can garnish them and cook them. So opening the clams is the hardest part of the whole deal.
That is a pain in the ass, Mies. Oh.
Yeah, once you get 50 clams laying on a cookie sheet and they're half open and they're laying in the shell, then I like to make Clams Casino out of them most of the time. And that's a simple recipe on my end. I take all four colors of bell peppers, orange, red, green, and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And I dice them all up real small. And the reason for the different colors is aesthetically pleasing, basically.
There we go.
But it makes it look like a nice dish. So mm-hmm. you take the four types of bell peppers with an onion, dice it all up. I like to saute it in olive oil and saute them until they're good and soft. And then you just take that mixture and you spread it out over the top of your half shell clams there. And then on top of that goes a thin layer of seasoned breadcrumbs on top of that. And then on top of that, a square of bacon.
Now, so, wait a second, Misak, I'm a hog aficionado. What kind of bacon now? You're talking pancetta, you're talking Hetfield, you're talking O'Meyer. What are you talking? Jimmy Dean? What do you got?
Just regular thin bacon, Tom. So
after all that, I get the regular thin bacon.
So that it crisps up real nice. And then after that's ready, you just put them back in my wife likes to put them back in the broiler and, you know, brown those breadcrumbs. And then you take them out, and there you have it, Clams Casino. A lot of times you're just going to get those mid-sized clams, so it's a good idea to try to make something like that to you know, to make your day worth being out there.
No, that sounds great. I've had clams every which way, but one of the reasons, the primary reason, people, if you've seen my girth, you know I'm not one for the exercise routine here, is opening those damn clams, Rob. To me, it's the law of diminishing returns. By the time I get the rhythm down, I've ruined probably a dozen. So
yeah.
it's an exercise in futility. But listen, the Clams Casino is the ace, and that's an ace recipe by Bob Misak. Go to the blog and check. The show will be embedded by this afternoon tonight or later this morning and get that recipe again. Mies, let me ask you, rumor has it that you consume about 1,000 clams a season. Is that true?
I would say a little more than that, Tom.
Hey, Bob, thanks for joining us on Rackman. Listen, Bob Misak, outdoor writer, extraordinaire, professional trapper, lifelong bayman, expert turkey hunter. He has gobblers like you cannot believe, ace angler, and legendary clammer. Bob, thanks for joining us. Listen, get out there. As we mentioned earlier, You need a recreational clamming license. It's $10. Non-resident, $20. Now, non-residents can clam only, what's that, May, June, or no, June, July, August, and September. Resident senior license, 62 and above, is $2, and that's a lifetime. Under 14, $2 for residents and non-residents. Google the tackle shops, or as Bob said, go to, what's that, RIBB or whatever. You can find a clam rake, the baskets, everything you need. Get out there and enjoy it. Fishing's great. Crabbing's great. Clamming's a whole new experience. And let me tell you something. The youngsters are going to love it because it's really, 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 I guess, interactive. I mean, the crabbing's cool when you have the drop line, you have the net, and you scoop them up. But the clamming, one of those things, I've seen kids' eyes pop up when the rake comes up. Holy God, they go crazy.
yeah.
Okay, Bobby, take care, man. Have a great summer. Hope to see you on the bay. Whoa, 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 whoa. We have a... I'm pinning you right now, Misak. I have a blowtoad charter with you sometime soon. Don't I have a blowtoads as in blowfish?
Absolutely, Tom. They're on their way in. Within a couple of weeks, they'll be here, and they're always welcome.
Chicken of the sea, extraordinaire. Okay, Bobby, have a great summer. We'll see you in a few weeks, man. Be good.
Thanks for having me.
Take care, always. Always, always. See you later. Bob Misak, a cool guy. Most unassuming guy you will ever see. And what he does, this is your consummate outdoorsman. Your Jersey outdoorsman. I know the guys up north, he's like, oh, they're not at the mountains. The mountains. They're in the mountains. Yeah, yeah, we're all outdoorsmen. Right. Misak lives the life. Hey, grab that cup. Grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
If you're wondering what to do with your money in these unusual economic times, or if you have questions about retirement planning, IRAs, 401ks, or taxes, then listen to The Heart of Your Money, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, featuring author and financial expert Joe Yakovich. The Heart of Your Money will focus on you, your family, and your financial portfolio. The Heart of Your Money with Joe Yakovich, Saturday morning at 8 on WPG, Talk Radio 95.5.
Make some noise. Sport Dodge has trucks. They have deals, and they have the shore's biggest Dodge summer event. During the 4th of July sales event, July 4th weekend can save you over $4,500 or get 0% APR financing, or lease a new Ram 1500 Crew Cab 4x for only $239 a month. Get offer details at sportdodge.com. Even better, get to Sport Dodge by Monday. These deals and the July 4th event, they have a very short fuse.
Geico presents Motorcycle Word of the Day. Today's word is tank slapper. Is a tank slapper used to describe a handlebar wobble? Or is it a motorcycle joke that is so funny you just have to slap the gas tank with your hand as you laugh, as in...
Oh man, Daryl told me a great joke last night. It was hilarious. It was something about a dog wearing sunglasses. I wish I could remember. It was a real tank slapper.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Bundling home and car insurance with Geico is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. But who? Look for the signs. Do they have a home and or car? Are they saving lots of money? Do they seem unusually happy? Do they have a child named Geico?
Geico, dinner time!
Have they recently purchased a drone? That's unrelated to the Geico thing, I'd just really like to try one. But if you notice these other things, you may want to ask them how easy it was to bundle with Geico. Bundling is easy with Geico. Just ask your neighbors.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Here we go, look out below, back for our final segment, Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Independence Day, 4th of July weekend. Let's kick it off with a fishery report. Billy Wiggins, West Avenue in Ocean City. It's Fanatics Marine Supply. Billy, how's it going, brother?
Doing great, Tom. How about you? Happy 4th.
Happy 4th. Before we go, how are Christy, the kids?
Everybody's doing wonderful.
All right, let's talk flounder. Let's talk flounder down there in OC in the bay and out front. What do you got?
We got some flounder. Ships Channel, Summers Point area has been pretty good. It's been pretty consistent over there, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Taking fish, you know, usual gulp, minnows, squid, all that fun stuff. Some things never change.
What about the elbow? Elbow?
Elbow Channel. Yeah, the guys on the pier right there outside the elbow are doing okay.
Uh-huh.
Most of the fish, though, seem to be hanging in that, 12 to 15 feet of water now. So
there you go.
They're getting a little bit deeper now. The water's getting slightly warmer. Still a little cool, I feel like, for this time of the year, but I think with all this heat we've had, it's going to warm up quick again.
Billy, any kingfish around the suds?
Yeah, this week was a real good week for kingfish. It was pretty good. A lot of smaller ones, but there was a ton of them. Guys were doing really well. Pier was doing good. The guys were doing well in the north, south of the pier. Sorry about, you know, 21st, 23rd, that area. Been pretty good.
Billy, nothing's happening on 23rd Street with the kingfish. No.
No, that never happened. No, nobody knows about that one.
23rd's not happening, people. When it comes to the Royals, go to 22nd, go to 24th, stay away from 23rd. But down Corson's Inlet, I'm seeing a lot of guys. What's the activity down there? Keepers, stripers, blues, what?
Nighttime, a lot of stripers down there at night, a lot of shorts, but a lot of fun to catch. Guys are picking some fluke there, too, during the day. It's been not bad. Guys walking the shores there, picking up. And starting to see a few in the surf, too. You know, some of the fluke are starting to show up there, too. And, you know, the guys bucktailing and everything.
Okay, Billy, before I let you go, the OC Reef, what's happening? Sea bass, two fish, limonade, any flatties out there?
There's a few flatties out there, not much yet. I haven't heard a ton out there, but the sea bassin's been pretty good. They're getting a little smaller out there. I think the bigger fish are moving a little bit deeper again because the water's warming up, but they're still catching them out there, that's for sure.
Bill, crabbing and clamming, what do you got?
Crabbing is as good as it's been.
It's nuts,
guys, man. Guys are doing real well. Ocean City always seems to have a really good supply of crabs. You know, more towards the Beasley's Point, the over that way is a little better. It's tough in town because there's just not a lot of spots to go. But the guys that are getting the few out in the boats and doing it back in the cuts and the rivers and everything back here are doing real well.
What about
clamming-wise, you know, their guys are always picking in a couple. There's always clams in the spots that you're allowed to clam in. That's always been pretty good. It's just a matter of where you want to go muck through the mud, that's all.
You know me, man. My middle name is Muck. Billy, you take care. Have a great holiday week, and we'll see you.
You too, Tom.
See you. We're going to wrap it up with Noel Feliciano. One-stop bait and tackle there. Atlanta gave it to an AC, where I'm sure it's quadruple banging. Right, Noel? What's happening?
Let me tell you something. Quadruple bang was an understatement what you're talking about. The flounder situation is super banging in AC.
Whoa.
There was a gentleman that just weighed the fish in. Caught the fish, put it on a stringer back into the drink because he wanted to have a nice fresh fish. He has to fight to get his fish back off of a shark's mouth. The video and the pictures is up on my website on the One Stop Bay AC, so you can check it out. So he had to catch the fish twice, basically, and play tug of war with a shark. It's super phenomenal. The kingfish situation, the Royals are here.
All right.
The Royals has been super, super banging, and the kingfish are here. The striped bass are still here. The triggerfish are here.
Hold it. Triggerfish. The jetties?
Yes, sir. The jetties are on fire.
Okay.
And if you haven't had your rod to bend, I can guarantee it. Ain't no other bait shop up and down the coast in New Jersey can talk about they can guarantee your rod to bend.
Noel, the sheepshead on the jetties as well, or just around the bridge stanchions?
The sheepshead, it's a special occasion on the jetty, but the Brigantine Bridge and anywhere surrounding it. If you have a spot up on a jetty that you can fish straight up and down off of a magic tail jig, okay, like a three-quarters or a half ounce, or even something smaller than that, and hit the crab. I got green crabs, by the way. Hit the crab not directly on the bottom, not directly all the way up top in the water channel. You're golden, and they're here. That's the crazy part. They had one off this a couple days ago. I saw one off the bulwark. They sent me a picture of. So that should tell you something.
There you go.
The seawall has been on fire. The surf has been on fire.
There's no fish on the seawall. Please tell him that. He's killing me. Wiggins kills me. And Noel kills me. My spots. You're killing me here. By the way, listeners, when you go down to One Stop, Noel has commando crabs. Be careful of those green crabs because they're going to take you out before they get the fish. I don't know what you do to them, Noel, but they're badass. They're badass crabs, man.
Yeah, yeah. The minnow situation, I don't sell just regular minnows, too, by the way. I sell suicidal minnows. I don't know if we can say this or not. But these are trained. They try all the time until the end. So you can't get no better than that.
It's got it. Okay, Noel, we'll see you next week. Keep me in on some of those trigger spots, man. I'll probably be down Tuesday or Wednesday.
All you got to do is show up, and I'll put you in a hot spot.
Okay, brother, we'll see you then.
God bless.
The seawall. 23rd Street and the seawall. These guys are killing me. That'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio. A little snotty weather out there. It's all right. Sunday, Monday, going to be nice. Get out there and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders. God bless law enforcement. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio. Clamming rules. Reclam the bay.
95.5 FM and